her police detective husband asked her where she would like to go, and she chose Scotland because she and her next door neighbor, Miss Gloria, are big fans of Outlander. And then when Miss Gloria heard they were going to Scotland, she said, "Oh, I've always wanted to go there. My husband and I were going to go before he had the heart attack." So they take her along and they visit Nathan's estranged sister. And then the mother shows up and all hell breaks loose. But it's based on a tour of a music tour of Scotland that I took in June of 2019 with my husband and a couple friends and my sister and her husband, which was just so much fun. I thought it would be fun to relive it in A Scone of Contention. And it also, I was feeling a little bit burnt out about Key West, and what can you find new to talk about and new restaurants. So it's wonderful that having a break from that and now working on number 12, which is due in 3 weeks, I feel so much more energized about going back to the island and its people. So it's worked well for me, the writer.
I think one of the comments I was going to make, and you alluded to it, is your characters. I love your characters. I have loved your characters since the beginning. If you didn't kill another person, I really wouldn't mind. I'd keep reading your books, honestly. I mean, the murders are very well plotted and they're interesting, but your characters are so terrific. Your first series was a golfing series with Cassie, and then there was a spinoff series, Rebecca Butterworth, and she was my favorite until Haley, the psychologist. And one thing you do that I love is that you bring characters from other series into your books, because Cassie's boyfriend or psychologist came to Haley's wedding last year.
Yep.
And I like that. I don't know why.
That reminds me that the Golf Lovers Mystery Series, there were 5 of them, and the series was cut off before I could show what happened to that character, which was very sad. And people wondered, you know, did she ever make it on the tour? Did she ever find the right guy? So I had the idea of having Rebecca Butterman turn on the TV and it's accidentally on the Golf Channel, and there's Cassie being interviewed, having just won her first tournament, and she has a diamond ring on, so she's engaged to the psychologist. So it was a way of being able to nod to that former character.
Yeah, I don't know why it appeals to me, but it does. It's just a thing about me. And I love Haley. She's great. She's so much fun. She has so much energy. I'm exhausted by the end. And in the first chapter, they're down on the waterfront and they hear gunshots. And so as her husband Nathan advised, she dropped to her knees on the pavement and rolled into the gutter. Too late, I froze, wondering whether I had gotten the rolling bit mixed up with a fire emergency. And I don't know. That's so funny. And it's so... You know, she hops on her scooter. She drives a scooter around Key West. She puts Miss Gloria right on the back of it. And when you mentioned Miss Gloria is her next door neighbor, did you mention where they live?
No, I didn't. When she first came to Key West, she was living in a condo with this man she barely knew. And when that blew up, luckily for her, her roommate from college at Rutgers, by the way, for New Jersey people, because they're all came from New Jersey originally, as did I. Her roommate lives on a houseboat, on Houseboat Row, which is in Key West. It's a real place. So she lives there for a while until Miss Gloria, she is in her 80s now. She was approaching 80, I think, at the beginning of that book. and her sons were getting worried about her living alone on a houseboat in Key West. So the agreement is made that Haley will move in, and for, I don't know, minimal or no rent, she will keep an eye out on Miss Gloria, and they become dearest friends. And now she's living on the houseboat next door to Miss Gloria, who is probably my reader's favorite character, and I had no idea how she would emerge, but she's a lot of fun because she can just say whatever she wants to say because she's old, right, and she's funky.
And Haley's newly married to Nathan, who has refurbished a houseboat so they can still live next door to Miss Gloria. And I'm not sure who's keeping an eye on who.
That's right.
But the description of the kitchen is just, he's outfitted her a kitchen, and I guess in a houseboat, space is a premium.
That's right.
But she loves to cook, and she has this dream kitchen. And so they're newly married. They had a bit of a disaster at their wedding. There was a storm. But they got through it, and now which came first, the decision to take them on a honeymoon to Scotland, or you were in Scotland and thought, let's set a mystery here?
Well, the book previous, The Key Lime Crime, which takes place around Christmas and New Year's in Key West, The last line is he said to her, because she has taken in his mother with no notice and shown her around. So he feels like he owes her something.
He does,
really. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to take you anywhere you want to go on your honeymoon. And she says, well, Scotland. And that's what leads into it. But so that book came out was supposed to come out in July of last year, and it got pushed off to August because of the problems with the pandemic. So I must have written that line before I went to Scotland, or about the same, they came about the same time, and I was thinking, oh yeah, this would be a great honeymoon. And then as we went to all these interesting places, so did the characters.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It was, because I know a device a lot of mystery writers use is to send their character someplace, because how many people can you kill?
Right.
Although Key West is a tourist location, so people are coming in.
There's more leeway.
Yes. The other thing that I loved about the beginning of the book is the nod to, it was almost meta, sort of when they're going downtown and they're going to go see Lorenzo, the tarot card reader.
Right.
And one of the tourists says, I read about you in a mystery novel and I can't believe you're real. And I loved that nod to the book that you're reading and the series.
Because he is real too. Lorenzo is real. So he is there on Mallory Square every night. So people go and see him and take books that he's in to have him sign them, which he gets a kick.
I was going to say, is he tickled by it?
Yeah, he is.
So even without, but she calls Lorenzo, she calls Connie, she keeps in touch with them from Scotland a couple times. But now she's got a whole new group of friends. She meets her sister-in-law, Vera.
Right.
And Vera's got a project going on with some people there.
Right. So the project is a book about the thin places of Scotland, which is places where the heaven and earth feel close together, so you could almost break through the veil that usually is between them. And Key West, the island, Lorenzo thinks is also a thin place. So there's that connection between Scotland and Key West. Well, Scotland obviously is an island by itself, but Lorenzo explains to her that if you're too busy or it's too loud or you're drinking too much, you can't experience what you could. And I'll just give you one example from the book. We went to see Glencoe, which is in the highlands, in the mountains. And there was a small community there who were slow to endorse the king. So he sent, this is back in the 1700s, he sent his soldiers and ended up massacring most of the people in that village. So the only thing that's left when you go to visit are some stone walls that were parts of the homes of these people. And it is said that you should be able to hear them or even see them while you're visiting. So we were a group of nine, and my sister and I desperately wanted to have that experience, although I can't say that we did. But one of our travel mates, Robin, she definitely felt it and heard it and described it to me, which I use that description as Miss Gloria's experience, because she is very tuned into the great beyond. She gives tours in the Key West Cemetery and feels like she really connects with those people. So that's what the book is about. But there obviously are some people who are fighting against what Nathan's sister's vision is, and that leads to some of the tension in the murder.
It's very Brigadoon-esque, if that can be a word. The town that appears once every 200 years, but it's still there. So that's sort of what made me think of it. And Haley's still writing. She's there on assignment almost. She's writing for her.
She writes a column. She's a food critic for the Key Zest magazine, and she has persuaded them to let her go away for a week, promising. Really, she's over-promised everywhere all the time. But in this case, she's doing a story about the food in Scotland and also about scones. And it helps that the first night they're in Scotland, they go to dinner at this very fancy home in St. Andrews, and one of the women is part of this book team. And so she has a wonderful cook named Grace, who provides them with an amazing meal, all the best things we had in Scotland. And unfortunately, someone thinks they've been poisoned, and the chef is accused. So she has made a connection with Haley, because Haley got a tour of her wonderful kitchen. And this woman asks her to help figure out what really went on, which speaks to another question, which is always the hardest thing about an amateur sleuth in a murder mystery is, Why would they get involved in a murder? Because I would not do that. I would run as fast as I could. But she has a big heart, and if someone asks her for help, she's going to help them. So that's how the food gets inserted into the story.
I feel like Scottish food historically has gotten a bad rap. Mm-hmm. I remember eating a lot of peas and a lot of fried potatoes kind of thing when I was there.
Yeah.
But you found, like, the market that Grace takes Haley to is just wonderful, and the Scottish cheese is...
Cheese. I made myself sick eating cheese meal after meal. It was so good.
And then in the back you've got recipes.
Right.
From Grace.
So there's two kinds of scones and a cockaliki soup, which was a recipe from another woman who was on the tour, and cronachan, which is raspberries, whipped cream, and toasted oats. So, yeah, we ate a lot of good food. There are definitely plates of mushy peas, but I even like them.
Sure. So how do you decide how to kill people, murder people? This is a question I ask a lot, because there's only so many ways you can do it, but you seem to keep it fresh and new each time.
It was funny because two of the people who were on the tour with us were here last weekend for a birthday party. And I asked them, I said, so can you guess how and where this murder occurred? And my friend Yvonne described this cliff that we all stood on to have our pictures taken, where somebody could have easily been pushed off, but that didn't occur to me. And our other friend Steve said, oh, definitely the distillery, which would have been a great scene. It just didn't come to me. I ended up choosing the one place that we all weren't crazy about, and that's called the Falkirk Wheel, which is it's a man-made thing that carries a boat up to another canal at the top, and then they have tourists can get on that boat and take the ride up, and it's very slow, and it's definitely not a thin place. And my friend Yvonne got a terrible migraine feeling claustrophobic, so that's what came to me as, if all the possible suspects are on this boat and someone gets pushed off and falls to their death, then it's a perfect setup. So that's how I chose it.
Were you going through Scotland, like making notes that of possible suspects and possible motives? And
no, I'm so annoyed that I'm not a good planner, a header. So luckily, because I had these other people on the tour, I did a lot of email, what do you remember about this? And I had a lot of photographs, so I worked from them.
So you're not a plotter in general, or?
No, I used to be back at the beginning when I had no clue about how to write a mystery. I had to know, you know, who was going to be the victim and why they were the victim and who were at least three suspects, or it's a kind of a dull story. But now I think since this is number 19, book number 19, I feel like I can, instead of planning all that out, get an idea of what's happening in the characters' lives and where they're going to be and who's coming in that's new that could add some good tension. In this case, that's Nathan's sister and brother-in-law. And then just write it and go from there. The one I'm finishing now, number 12, I've realized it's taken me almost to the end of the book to figure out who murdered the person and why. So now I have to go back to the beginning of the book and make sure the people who are suspects are woven in there in a big enough way that readers feel like I played fair with them. Different process.
I remember at the talk you gave at the library, the Rebecca Butterman books had just come out, and I remember you telling a story about gloves in the second book. They were supposed to be in a drawer or something, and your editor said, how could they get there, or what would they, that always stuck with me. Do you have readers call you out? Because now readers have access, I feel, to authors very easily.
They do. I've gotten a lot better because back in even in those days, I was thinking about the plot and what happened in the plot rather than what would naturally happen if the character ran into the situation. So the gloves are a perfect example. Why would they discover those gloves jammed? It was in a church, in a meeting room in a church, and there was a little coffee table with a drawer. And that's where she finds the gloves that have Crisco all over them, if you remember. So what led up to that moment, I had to really work on somebody had done something and they had these gloves on, and maybe they were surprised by someone, so they needed to whip those gloves off and shove them in the drawer, at least for now. So that's why that editor was so good for me, because she kept me focused on what's the natural thing that a character would do. So anyway, long way of saying I think I'm better at that the two complaints I've had so far on this book, one is getting away from Key West. They missed Key West, even though I tried as I did start and end the book in Key West, and through FaceTime tried to make the connection. So that's a matter of taste. Louise Penny did that with taking Gamache to Paris.
And I was not happy.
Oh, you weren't happy?
No, I was not. I won.
Oh, see?
I was happy with Scotland, but Paris, no.
That's funny. Okay, so you're not going to please everybody.
No.
So there was that issue, and the other is, what kind of honeymoon is this? Why are they taking... Is it that their relationship needs to be propped up by having other people all around them?
Oh, my goodness.
And my answer is, if they knew Haley, and if they knew Miss Gloria, this would seem the most natural thing in the world.
See,
she's not going to live forever, and hopefully their marriage will, and they'll have lots of other times where they can be alone, but this is not one of them.
No, I felt as if their relationship was strong enough to be able to do this. Now, the mother-in-law, I don't know. But even that, at the, you know, Haley had to admit she was not as fearsome as she originally expected her mother-in-law
right.
to be.
Because they had bonded in the key lime crime, mm-hmm. and I think there is a family trauma in Nathan's history that Haley knew nothing about. But I think everybody in his family kind of sees Haley as a person who can open that up and let some air into it. So I think that's happened by the end of this. And, well, you'll be pleased or not to know that Nathan's father is showing up in the next book.
I wanted to ask you, because you end with saying that haven't met your father yet, and Nathan's going to put that on the list. And a honeymoon from the honeymoon.
Yeah. So Nathan's father's coming. The honeymoon from the honeymoon. Not yet.
Not yet. No. So, and your covers. Do you have any input? I think you held up a copy before.
Yes.
Do you have
yes.
any input into the covers? Because this, I think this one's particularly.
This one is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yes.
And the back is pretty too.
My back isn't pretty.
This is what happens. They, when I'm pretty early into writing the book, the publisher emails me and says, okay, we're ready to start working on the cover art, so do you have any ideas? And I always have ideas because I know what I want. So in this one, I definitely wanted scones. I wanted the plaid. I sent them a picture of which plaid. And I wanted Glencoe, which you can see through the window. That's where Miss Gloria had the thin place experience. I was picturing it in the mountains, not inside a room. But I think this works better. I was a little surprised when I saw the mountains through the window. But always there has to be a cat. This is actually Haley's cat, who wouldn't have been in Scotland. He was home in Key West, but that's okay. It's fiction. And so I send them all that. These are my ideas. And then I have these two fabulous cover artists that I've had since the beginning of the series. Even though I changed publishers in between, they were able to get the same people
oh, wow.
to work on them. And then they mock up a drawing, and then I can tweak it a little bit. Not a whole lot, but usually I wouldn't even think of tweaking it because it's so gorgeous. So I'm very lucky.
Wow, that's great that you were able to keep to transition. Because originally you published with Berkeley Prime Crime,
right.
Which I've talked a million times about the disruption and the
right.
what happened. And Crooked Lane is your new publisher.
Right.
And I think they've been terrific for Cozy Mystery.
They're doing a wonderful job. It's probably good for libraries that they come out in hardcover.
Yes. Yes, because the paperback originals are terrific, and I did buy them. But They get red heavily?
Yeah.
Do you plan on having any of the characters introduced in Scotland? Do you think they'll ever visit Key West?
Well, that's a perfect question, because I was telling my sister interviewed me at a bookstore event on Tuesday, and I was telling her ahead of time, because she loved the Scone sisters.
Yes, that's who I was thinking of, actually.
Yes. So these are two little old ladies. I won't tell you how they're connected because I don't want to spoil it, but they're famous for winning a contest for the best scones in Scotland. And Haley goes to visit them to nose around, and also in hopes that she might squeeze that recipe out of them, which at first they're not at all willing to do. But after she helps them solve this murder question, they become best friends. And those two are going to go on tour in the U.S.
Oh.
And Miss Gloria has become friendly with them and invites them to Key West. So they are going to be such a hoot. I can't wait.
Oh, wow.
The book after the one I'm almost finished with, I just can't wait to write them. Think of the trouble they could get into with Miss Gloria.
That's who I was thinking of, actually, coming.
Violet and Bettina are their names.
Yeah, the recipes were so unusual, because a lot of times the scone recipes are, not unusual, different in a good way. You know, they're just the same basic and just put a couple things in, but you've got bananas and dates and all kinds of interesting ingredients that I think people wouldn't normally think of to add. So you always have recipes in the book. Are any of Haley's articles ever? I'd really love to read her article on Scotland.
Oh,
or is that asking way too much?
That's an interesting idea. The book that I'm writing now, which will be called A Dish to Die For, she is working on, I don't have the old one, but I have the newer version. She's working on an article about this old Woman's Club Key West cookbook. And I was writing a scene this morning, just to your point. I've said, oh, she sent in her articles and she's, you know, she's on time. Well, her editor and boss writes back and said, well, you said something about a cookbook as an autobiography of the times. Can you spell that out? Can you tell us more about what that means? Which, of course, I don't know. Now I'm going to have to figure out what that means. And there probably will be more of an article on that particular question, because it appeals to me as something interesting that she'd be interested in. But I would have to reread A Scone of Contention to see if I could come up with.
I know, I want a lot.
Idea. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. And there are recipes, and there's an introductory paragraph to each recipe. So it's sort of, it stands that way.
Yeah.
So just real quickly, groups, organizations, you're past president of Sisters in Crime. Were your sisters?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was the president of the New England chapter of Sisters in Crime, and then I was the president of the national chapter of Sisters in Crime. For those people who don't know, it's an organization that was formed in the 1980s by Sarah Paresky and Nancy Picard and some other wonderful women writers to support other women crime fiction writers, because they could see and know from their own experience that they weren't paid as well, nor did they get as many reviews as men did. And so that started with 8 women, and now it's almost 4,000, both women and men. Anyone can join, fans, librarians, booksellers, writers, readers. So that has been a wonderful experience. I've made so many friends and connections with that. And now I am the president of the Friends of the Key West Library, which is really a fun, it's a solid organization. And we, our mission, of course, is to support the library by giving them money to pay for things they couldn't otherwise buy, because it's a county library.
It sounds very familiar.
and your budget doesn't always allow yes. for what you wish you could do. So we end up donating about $50,000 wow. each year, which is pretty super.
That's tremendous. Think. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our friends supported your program. They paid for a cake with one of your book covers on it, as a matter of fact.
I remember a cake, yes.
Because I decided we needed to have a cake for my first yeah. author visit. So friends of the library are really, really important, and that's thank you for being so supportive of them.
It's a pleasure, really. It's the librarian we have now loves author, you know, reading and books and author visits, so he gets a lot of people in. A lot of people would like to visit Key West, so it's not a hardship.
Right.
And then we have a friend speaker series that we're working on now to line up. Oh, Lord, I hope it's going to be in person and not more Zoom, but we'll do what we have to do.
How have you found? I'm finding the good and bad with the Zoom. It's been great because we can have author visits. The last time or two I had you on the phone, and it
right.
was kind of boring for listeners to watch me talking on the phone, and now they can actually
yeah.
see you. But in person, it's something special.
Yes, the good thing about Zoom is that you can get people, big names, who would not otherwise be able to be there. Last year, Judy Blum lives in Key West for most of the year, so she's a big supporter of all things literary. So we were able to have her interviewing Lily King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was on the internet, and you can still go and look it up and watch it. It was a wonderful interview. And so this next year we're having Charlaine Harris, because we decided to try to do a hybrid. So some people will be local, and we'll try to videotape them, and others will be just strictly on Zoom, because we learned so much about Zoom last year. But people are tired of Zooming, too. I'm tired of Zooming.
Oh, I am.
I want to go and see real people.
Yes. In the beginning, I watched author talks morning, noon, and night, and now I miss so many because I've had enough.
You've had, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and this is still, I mean, I'm not, you know, I still like doing this, and it's, we reach a much broader audience.
That's the good thing. Yeah, you don't have to be at the library.
Right. But please do come to the library.
Okay.
So is there anything you'd like our listeners to know before we end this morning? Viewers?
Yeah, to go to my website. I have a sparkling new website. And if you've lost track of what the books are or even the series, all of that's there. And, one other thing that I almost forgot to say is there's another book coming out from Severn House Press. Do you know them?
Mm-hmm.
They're
I do.
English. Okay. So it's coming in England in September, and it's coming in the U.S. in December. And it's called Unsafe Haven, and it's not the least bit cozy. And it has the detective from the Advice Column series, Jack Miggs.
Oh, nice.
Is the detective. So I hope people will. The people who want only cozy and don't want to follow a former teenage prostitute, then you could skip that one. But everybody else, I hope you'll take a look at it.
Oh, definitely. And just real quick also, I forgot Jungle Red Writers. You blog.
And I should never forget them.
They're wonderful.
I blog every day on jungleredwriters.com, and it's 7 crime fiction writers, dear friends and fabulous writers, all of them. That was what I was going to say. My friend Jen McKinley had the same book birthday that I did. So she's on Jungle Red Writers with this new book that I'm reading now. And we have a lot of authors visit, and we talk about food. And it was such a good support system during the worst of the pandemic. I hope that was the worst of the pandemic, to know that every day that was a place where we could be, but also our readers. So it's a good group, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful blog to take a look at every day. And I'm going to have Hank Ryan on next month.
Oh, great.
Talk. She is a hoot, too.
She is a go-getter.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Yes. So, well, I want to thank you so much for taking time again. I really appreciate you.
My pleasure. Doing this. Thanks for inviting me.
It's been so much fun. So definitely check out A Scone of Contention, or go to your bookstore and please buy a copy.
Sure.
And look for Lucy at lucyburdette.com is your website still? And on Jungle Red Writers.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you. You have a good day now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I want to thank Lucy Burdette for joining me this morning. I'm going to do a quick news break, and then I'll be back to catch you up on what's going on at the library.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
By law, the 43 states with more than one representative in D.C. must redistrict after each census to account for population shifts within the state, as well as to add or remove congressional districts. The 2020 census is in, and redistricting has begun. Texas, Florida, and North Carolina will gain a House seat each. An independent commission will draw maps in Colorado and Montana, each gaining a seat as well. Let's get a Dixie Fire update burning in Northern California. Tim Berg reports.
The Dixie Fire is now the 15th most destructive fire in California history. It's also the second largest in state history. It's burned close to 500,000 acres and destroyed more than 1,000 structures. Cal Fire saying the blaze could grow even more with this week's hotter and drier conditions. The fire sparked on July 14th and is burning in Butte, Plumas, Lassen, and Tehama counties.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. USA Radio News.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.HuntertonChamberRadio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Winberry. This is At the Library. We just had author Lucy Burdette on, whose 11th book, A Scone of Contention, was just released on Tuesday, so please check it out from the library. She's a lot of fun, and her characters, as we talked about in the beginning, are really, really super. So in the last 10 minutes before the show ends, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on at the library. Jim Gonneau will be in at 1 o'clock to take care of business. Upcoming at the library, we're having a mini art show, a primary color challenge. It is open to teens and adults. Step one, you register to select a day to pick up your kit. You pick up the kit between August 16th and 20th. Kit includes one mini canvas, primary paints, one brush, and a color wheel for inspiration. And if you try to register for a date and it looks like it's full, register, pick another date, because each day is limited to the number of people that can pick up. So just pick another date. Use the primary colors provided to paint your mini masterpiece. There are no limitations. The design can be as simple or complex as you want. And then step three, return your artwork to the library by 3 p.m. Saturday, September 4th, to be included in the mini art exhibition, which will be on display September 7th to September 30th. And this program is open to teens and adults. And the canvas is 3x3, for people who would like to know. We're also running a book pun Olympics. Vote for your favorite book title puns as they go head-to-head for the gold. The brackets are found on our website. One of the sliders on the top, just click on that. We have the brackets begin food puns, animal puns, potpourri, and book and movie puns. Some of the contenders include Murphy's Slaw, Dough or Die, Final Roasting Place, Roast Mortem, Let Them Eat Pancakes, When the Grits Hit the Fan, Nothing Bun to Trouble, and It Can Only Be Murder. Some book pun, movie puns we have: Tequila Mockingbird, From Beer to Eternity, Much Ado About Muffin, Eat, Pray, Love, P-R-E-Y, A Broom of One's Own, Knit of the Living Dead, The Pun Also Rises. And then we've got some Scottish puns: Hit Me With Your Best Scot, and a Scot to the Heart. Earls Just Want to Have Fun, and What Earls Want. And if you check out our Instagram page, a lot of times on our story at the top, you can vote, I want to say, for the pun of the day. But if you also, if you go to our Instagram page, is HCLibrary3, you can also see some of those brackets right there. We're also offering coffee and coloring. We're going to have some different drop-in sessions. The first one will be Tuesday, August 24th from 6 to 8. De-stress over hot beverage and as many coloring sheets as you can grab. Colored pencils, markers, crayons, and coffee will be provided. There will be soothing music. Stay for a little while or just take them with you. Converse with others or get lost in your own coloring. This program is open to all. We are continuing our summer concert series. Last night we had Eric Mantel Jazz Quartet playing Dave Brubeck and some others. I didn't hear quite how it went with the weather. I'm not sure how that ended up playing out. Next Wednesday, the 18th, we're going to be back at North County at 6:30 for Nabodoc with another of their celebrations of Celtic music. They're using a mix of instruments, including bodhrams, fifes, whistles, violin, fiddle, and vocals. Get in spirit of St. Patrick's Day, although we're about 6 months away from that. They're true to the tradition and culture, yet they always throw in a few drams of high octane, so all enjoy their eclectic music. Please bring your chairs and blankets to enjoy a night of live music on the backfield at the North County Branch Library. All our programs are free and open to the public, and many of our music programs are made possible by funds from the New Jersey State Council on the Arts, a partner agency of the National Endowment for the Arts. If you have questions, you can call Adult Services at 730-6135 or at headquarters 788-1434. Our Adult Summer Reading Club continues for adults through Labor Day. Labor Day weekend. So continue reading that using, we're using Read Squared. Teens 6 through 12 are invited to participate in the Teen Summer Reading Program. Whenever you read a book or attend a program, you can submit to your online form for a raffle ticket in order to possibly win a gift card. The Children's Summer Reading Club includes literacy, art, STEM, and community service projects. And all this information can be found on our website. The theme this year is Tales and Tales, T-A-I-L-S and T-A-L-E-S. But check out the teen and the children's page on our website for more details about all the different programs. They've done some service crafts at home. There's some STEM that you can watch the video and then take. You can pick up the kit at the library. There are a lot of take-home crafts available at the library for the children this summer. So, again, check out their website and register to pick them up. There's some just grab-and-goes that you, when you walk into the children's department, there's a table out that does have the crafts ready. Something new at the library, we're trying date night at the library. We're going to start on Thursday, August 26, 2021, at 6:30. It will be outside in the headquarters at the Grove Library. It's Literary Mocktails. Bring your favorite person to the library for a date night and learn how to create literary-themed mocktails. And when you register, please be sure to register in groups of two so that we have room for both of you. And let's see what else we have going on. The slider is stopped. I'm at the North County Branch Library right now. There's a display Grunt Man at the American Infantry in 1970. This detailed, authentic display of Vietnam-era military paraphernalia from the extensive collections of John Dwyer shines a light on the daily lives of the infantry in Vietnam. We have digital magazines available at hclibrary.overdrive.com with our downloadable audiobooks and ebooks. We also have a collection of downloaded movies, downloadable streaming movies, available through Canopy. About this time every week, they announce some new ones. They haven't quite done so yet. But ones that were added last week are Renee Zellweger in Miss Potter, a biography of the children's author Beatrix Potter. The epic Francis Ford Coppola's wartime masterpiece, Apocalypse Now Redux, is on there. It's there's an extra 49 minutes of footage, so it's 197 minutes. But the good thing about Canopy is you have 3 days to watch the movie once you've started it, or you can watch it three times. So 197 minutes is over 3 hours long. So you could start watching it on an afternoon and finish it at night. We could start it today and watch it tomorrow. But you do have 3 days to watch the movies once they start. There are some documentaries. There's a new one on meerkats. It's 84 minutes long. It was shot in the Kalahari Desert. An inspiring story of young meerkats' resilience and fortitude. And that just sounds like a really good thing for right now. It just sounds like a light, something different. There's some world cinema, and there are subtitles available. There's also closed captioning available with all of the movies. There are some newly added series. We have the History of Britain, which is Tony Robinson gives the past a good kick up in this entertaining tour of British history. There's a History Channel season one, The Presidents, which is 8 videos. There are a lot of PBS series on here. Ken Burns presents The Gene, which is 2 videos. So there's a whole lot of things in here in Canopy to watch. And it's neat. Once you watch something, it'll say, well, if you watch that, you might like this. And I can tell you from experience, there's things, when I think I've seen everything, that they have to offer, and then there's just something else comes up, and I said, oh, wait, how did I miss that the first time around? So definitely take a look at that, definitely. We have a volunteer opportunities directory that was put together with the Hunterdon County Department of Human Services. That's linked on our website as things are beginning to open up. And if you're looking for volunteer opportunities or want to give back to your community, meet new friends, so definitely take a look at that. There are some videos listed on at the link for Mr. Fix-It, Volunteer Guardianship, Casa Shaw, which is an advocacy group, Holcomb Jamison Farm, Team Velvet, the Miniature Horses Volunteer. So check that out as well. And our final thing I want to point out is the Friends of HCL Return the Support Fundraiser 2021. The Friends of the Hunterdon County Library have had to forego their book sale for the last 2 years. And they did have their tricky trade last year, and they're going to have it again this year. But instead of asking local businesses to donate, they're asking their members to buy or donate money to buy gift cards or to actually buy a gift card from one of the local businesses, and they will be raffled off at the tricky trade to support the businesses who have been so supportive of the Friends and the library throughout the years. So that's about it for me for today. I once again want to thank Lucy Burdett, author of Scone of Contention, for taking the time out to talk with us. And until next week, remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Drought and high demand are expected to force the first ever mandatory cuts to water supply that 40 million people across the Colorado River depend on. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation's project next week will spare cities and tribes but hit Arizona farmers hard. Pinal County, Arizona's top producer of cotton, barley, and livestock, says they will be hit very hard. Arizona is expected to lose 512,000 acre-feet of water. Nevada will lose 21,000 acre-feet, and Mexico will lose 80,000 acre-feet of water. An acre-foot is enough water to supply 1 to 2 households for a year. The Loudoun County School Board west of Washington, D.C. voted 7-2 Wednesday evening to approve the rights of transgender students. Students can choose which bathroom to use, and faculty must address the student with the preferred pronoun. Loudoun School Board said the number one priority is to foster the success of all students and ensure they feel safe, secure, and accepted. USA Radio News.
They say the Delta variant is spreading fast. In Australia, they're even using the military to enforce new lockdowns. Will it happen here? All this week, Stinchfield answers that and more about the big bad lockdowns. Tune into Stinchfield on Newsmax. Find out about new calls for lockdowns, more masks, and even forced vaccinations. You thought it couldn't happen here. Now, Stinchfield is on tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, exposing the dangers to you and your family. He reveals who's really behind the big bad lockdowns, the real truth you need to know. Over 30 million Americans watch Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems like DirecTV, Dish, and Xfinity. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax. Plus, you can stream it for free on Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anytime, anywhere. Don't miss Stinchfield on Newsmax tonight.
The Biden administration's education secretary wants all teachers vaccinated before returning to the classrooms. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said Wednesday that he supports mandating COVID-19 vaccinations for teachers before they return to classrooms for the new year. The former head of the CDC, Dr. Richard Besser, tells Fox News that the classroom is one of the areas where vaccine requirements make sense to him.
For a school setting where you have teachers and staff who may be at increased risk of having severe disease, You have children for whom vaccines aren't yet available. I think considering requiring vaccination is something that should be on the table. My hope is that more people will reach out to their own healthcare providers, explore this, get their questions answered, and make the decision to get vaccinated.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thank you, Dan. We are USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
As the Taliban gained more control across Afghanistan, U.S. officials scrambled to assess just how quickly the government in Kabul could fall. President Biden on Tuesday.
We spent over $1 trillion over 20 years. We trained and equipped with modern equipment over 300,000 Afghan forces. And Afghan leaders have to come together. We lost thousands, lost death and injury. Thousands of American personnel. They've got to fight for themselves, fight for their nation. The United States, I'll insist we continue to keep the commitments we made of providing close air support, making sure that their Air Force functions and is operable, resupplying their forces with food and equipment, and paying all their salaries. They've got to want to fight. They have outnumbered the Taliban, and I'm getting daily briefings. I think there is still a possibility. You have a significant new Secretary of Defense, our equivalent of Secretary of Defense in Afghanistan, Bushmullah Khan, who's a serious fighter. I think they're beginning to realize they've got to come together politically at the top.
I'm Lance Pry. This is USA Radio News.